That's how things work. Things just don't fit together. Without hope. Because they didn't have that one piece that could fill their God-shaped hole. But when God sent His Son into the world, Jesus, the thing that really amazes me is that I actually mentioned this during my sermon on the Beatitudes. When Jesus started His teachings, the very first word in the Sermon on the Mount was blessed. And that wasn't just the first word in the sermon. The first 9 sentences of His teaching all start, blessed are they. And people hungered for that blessing. And when Paul went out to the Gentiles and told people that this blessing was open to them too, the Gentiles flocked into the church. They were drawn to that message because they had finally found that one piece that fit. And this was how Paul wrote to the Ephesians. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, and in His flesh He has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. You see, before Jesus' death and resurrection, there had been the nation of God, the people of Israel, and then there was kind of everybody else. But this blew open the borders. It opened the promise of God to everyone. Forever. And of course, the people were drawn in by this promise, by this hope. And what's amazing to me when reading this isn't just the Ephesians story. This isn't just 2,000 years ago. This is my story. I think it's a lot of our stories, isn't it? That once we were estranged from God, that we were cut off without hope, lost in a world that was lacking light, lacking freedom, lacking peace, lacking blessing. But then we heard the good news. We heard about God's Son, the sacrifice that He had made for us, the life that He lived, the good news, God made flesh, and we found that peace that fits. That in the midst of the pain, loneliness, and emptiness in this world, there was one peace that could fill that. Now, it's also when Jesus, this is Matthew 9, verse 35 to 37. When Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness, when He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. When Jesus looked out at these crowds, lost and lonely, broken, this is what he saw: a harvest, a rich harvest. People ready to be brought in to the kingdom. People ready to hear the good news, whose hearts had been prepared for this. And the harvest was plentiful. You have multiplied the nation. Blowing open those borders, welcoming in new people. You have increased its joy, pouring out his blessing on his new church. Like joy at the harvest, as people exult when dividing plunder. Now, I don't know about you, but that last one is probably the least comfortable of these lines for me. We don't like to use warlike imagery when we talk about God. We're Mennonites. But the Old Testament has a lot of that sort of imagery in it. And I think we would be missing a little something if we didn't acknowledge that there is a battle going on. There is a war taking place. But the thing that we have to remember when we look at a passage like this is that the people who are lost out in the cold, out in the darkness, estranged from God, those aren't our enemies in that war. I want to say that a little differently, say it again because it's really important. The people who are estranged, out in the darkness, out in the cold, even those who would want to kill us if they had the chance, they are not our enemies. They're the spoils. They're the treasure that we're fighting for, not the enemy we're fighting against. I won't get too much more into this because John's preaching on peace in 2 weeks. So, finally, and this is Paul talking about that war and getting at pretty much the point I was just making. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. That's the battle we're fighting. So, when we read this verse about opening up the blessing of God to everyone that we can reach out to, those people who are weak and weary, borne down under the weight of this world, in pain, lonely, and empty. But we've got that peace that fits. And that's our good news to them, that we have that peace that makes them whole. If we just reach out, So I want to pose three questions for reflection here, and we'll take a few minutes to think about these. What areas in your life are you still hungry for God? Two, what parts of the world around you can you bring God's blessing out into? And finally, how can Third Way participate in bringing more of this world out of the darkness, into the kingdom, into the light? Let's take a minute to close this in prayer, and then we will stand up and make a big circle. We'll do the passing of the candle and sing our final song. Lord, we thank you for the great blessings that you have poured out on us. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in our lives, that one piece that fits everything else together. Help us, Lord, to appreciate that message. Help us to spread that word out into the world, that your light, your blessing, your freedom, and your peace may be ever increasing, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.